It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It would be Monday. It's Monday all day long, but my gosh, it's a fine looking Monday. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
Oh, good weekend. And a good day.
You say that like a tired dad.
I am a tired dad.
but
it was a good one.
You're covered up in birthday parties and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good, though.
Yeah.
It's good. I got to relax. Did you relax?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know how to spell that.
Hang out, I guess.
Well, I actually sat outside on the deck and read a book for a while. That qualifies. And I'm sunburned because of it.
Oh, that's the red tint.
That's because I'm so pasty that I burned like a crisp out there. Just anyway. All right, we got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today. You're going to want to stay tuned. Our buddy Dale Jackson is going to be calling in. We're having a discussion about police and the lack thereof. Why is it so hard to recruit right now? Well, I got thoughts, and I feel certain knowing Dale Jackson, he does too. That'll be at 4 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. And then there's this triple dipper that's just filled up with stuff, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. Yeah, there's a name. So what does it mean when you enable something? Well, that means you're empowering the behavior. You're basically causing the behavior to perpetuate. Well, when you enable the theater of the absurd, what are you doing? Well, you're basically saying, yeah, you're right, people. There is no hope. You're a victim. Everything's got to get worse. Well, why are we doing that? We'll talk about it. I got some examples. Number one, enabling theater of the absurd. And then number two, yeah, I just titled this one, We Know That They Know. Have you seen how many things are out there like right now, why does Susan Rice just leave the administration right before Joe Biden announces re-election? Huh. And what is going on with the Hunter Biden laptop? Huh. And what is the deal with the fact that we still haven't had an announcement as to who leaked the Supreme Court Dobbs decision? Huh. We know they know. Don't tell us they don't. They are stalling on some of this stuff, and we deserve to know, so we'll cover that too. Number two on the Triple Dipper, we know that they know. And then number three on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it Safe Streets. Because right now, across the state of Alabama, right here in our backyard, we are facing a recruiting loss of law enforcement officers at the local and state level like we've never seen before. Like, where have they all gone? Well, I got thoughts on that, and I'll be honest with you. Some of that is to be expected based upon what law enforcement officers have had to put up with in recent years. So we'll talk about it. Number three on the Triple Dipper, Safe Streets. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments. So first of all, I really do like some reality shows. I mean, there's some stupid reality shows. I don't know who came up with the idea of Naked and Afraid, but that has to be the absolute most brain-numbing, ridiculous. Two people getting paid to walk around buck-ass naked in the jungle and being scared. What a stupid show. Boomer's laughing right now. But all that to say, there are some that I do like. Like, I still love the show Overhauling. Love it. You got a guy or sometimes a lady, and they've got that car they've always wanted to restore. They've never been able to do it because they can't afford it, but they're wonderful people, and their family sets them up for a prank. And next thing you knew, the legendary Chip Foose, and if you're a car guy, you know who Chip Foose is. Chip Foose comes in. They do a total prank. Totally punk the person. And kind of make off with their car under pretenses. And next thing you know, the person gets their car back in a way better shape than they ever had it. Love that show. But that's a practical joke gone right. It doesn't always work out that way. I mean, beginning back with the early days of television in 1948, the catchphrase, "Smile, you're on candid camera," became a part of pop culture. An entire genre of primetime viewing sprang out of that one show with spinoffs, reboots, syndications, international copycats around the globe. And some have said that Candid Camera with host Alan Funt was the original reality show. Amazingly detailed practical jokes can take some time to develop. Planning, staging, orchestrating a scenario that leads the victim, you know, down a primrose path of emotion and incredulity. Well, that takes time and planning, right? Candid Camera turned the practical joke into an art form. Multiple versions of the gag-oriented hidden camera franchise have appeared on U.S. television for over 7 decades, with the latest iteration being a celebrity-focused show called Punked. So for those who don't know, the latest trends in modern vernacular, punked simply means someone has been the butt of a well-played, often public practical joke. So punking someone can be done in fun, with smiles all around. Whoop, whoop, that was funny, man, look at you. But punking can also be hurtful. Punking can be spiteful. Punking can be insensitive. It can be even bullying. Candid Camera and its spinoffs have actually faced multiple lawsuits on multiple occasions for everything from bodily injuries, emotional distress, invasion of privacy, and more as a result of punking gone too far. And let's face it, sometimes the punker just has little regard for the punky. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what happened in a recent series of events right here in our Alabama State Senate. Let me switch gears slightly and I'll come back to that thought. Recent polling indicates an overwhelming majority of Alabamians, overwhelming, support the concept of expanded school choice. Across the nation, Republican majorities have expanded school choice for their state residents. I mean, just in 2023 alone, Indiana, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Iowa, Utah, West Virginia have all passed legislation that gives families the ability for universal school choice by allowing parents to have the final say as to what the educational environment best fits their child's needs. Okay. And a review of Alabama's budgets, by the way, indicates the coffers are full. Largest education budgets in state history, bar none. Despite being flush with cash, Alabama remains at the bottom of the heap in education quality and outcomes. I mean, this is a gross injustice to our children, especially given that a number of states spend less per child than Alabama and yet rank higher overall. It's proof positive, in my opinion, that money is not the issue. It's how we spend the money. So, getting back to punking. Enter the Price Act, and State Senator Johnny Chesteen, chairman of the Senate Education Policy Committee, a Republican from down yonder in Geneva, and the biggest political punking of 2023. You see, the Price Act, which is really the Parents' Rights in Children's Education Act, it's a landmark school choice bill. It's on par with those that are passed in other states. Sponsored by Senator Larry Stutz, a Republican from over in Tuscumbia, right here in our listening area. He's been on the show talking about it. Other Republicans also co-sponsored the Price Act with him. The Price Act would establish that Alabama believes that funds for education are first and foremost for the education of a child. They are less about funding the government system that we know as public schools. And listen, despite all the rhetoric from the teachers' union, nowhere in the nation has such a legislation ever dismantled public education. In fact, it is often found that the free market principle of competition, it drives the public school system to improvement. But the teachers' union and Alabama's educrats fear change, and they certainly fear any loss of power. I mean, you follow the money, you'll also find that a large swath of Republican legislators have been taking campaign donations from the teachers' union, despite the longstanding prohibition on doing so by the state Republican Party. And having said all that, with complete disregard, the great Price Act punk was orchestrated. You see, when he dropped the bill in, Senator Stutz asked for the Price Act to be assigned to the Education Budget Committee. He was reportedly assured that Senator Chesteen's Education Policy Committee, though, was the best assignment for it. This is where we need to send it, Senator. Well, populism runs really strong with this bill, so when it was announced that a public hearing was going to be held, a large crowd of supporters took time from work to travel down to Alabama State House to participate in the moment and to support this highly sought and very conservative piece of legislation. Speakers for and against the bill were given the opportunity to speak, with one of the leading proponents being Terry Lathan, the immediate past chair of the Republican Party, who herself appeared on this show last week. At the end of every supportive speech about the Price Act, the crowd applauded loudly. I mean, the energy in the room, y'all, everything that I'm hearing, the energy in the room certainly favored getting a vote for what is called a favorable report to move that bill out of committee to the floor of the Senate, and that's when it happened. Without so much as a word of consideration or a sidebar with his colleague, Chairman Chesteen inexplicably announced the bill would now be recommitted without a vote to the clerk of the Senate for referral to the Education Budget Committee. That's right, the same one that originally had been sought. I mean, the room was stunned. The bill sponsor was caught off guard. He called it a stalling tactic. This is not, by the way, having spent 8 years down there, I can tell you this is not the usual way of doing things. Because the Price Act, it got punked. At this point, the bill still has not been recommitted. The legislative clock is ticking. They have like 15 days left. In 8 years of service in the state Senate, I saw some hoodoo and some backroom finagling. But the punking of the Price Act last week, it ranks as one of the most disrespectful and misleading incidents against the general public and certainly a fellow caucus members. That was a Republican chairman who didn't even bother to tell his Republican colleague that he was not going to do that. He was not going to bring it to a vote. He was going to let everybody travel down there under the guise of doing something meaningful, only to have them spend their day in a public hearing that meant nothing, because he planned all along to punt and send it back for a review to another committee. So it starts all over again. And I'm going to tell you, members of the Republican Party should be livid. There are co-sponsors who did their research. There are people who held press conferences. And there were certainly members of the public who traveled down there, and they got punked, every one of them. Well, punking the public is bad form. Punking a colleague is unprofessional. Punking the Price Act is just bad for Alabama's children. And Chairman Chesteen gets the Punk Award for the year. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yeah, I mean, you can watch overhauling. You get a good result, right? At the end, everybody's happy and tearful, and I got overhauled. Not the Price Act. Price Act got punked, man. It was basically a bully tactic. It was a teacher's union got to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of here and stall it because, you know, maybe I can run the clock out on the session. That's exactly what happened. Well, it's up again in committee this week, and we will see where it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Text lines are already open. You want to text on in, the number is indeed, as always, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Frank from Madison just texted in and said, actually, Candid Camera was in 1958. He says, but your point still holds. I am looking at it right now. The Oracle of Google tells me it was August of 1948. Originally, it was a radio title, but it went on to become a TV show, and it premiered on ABC on August 10th of 1948. Frank, if you got something different, tell me. Either way, thank you, Frank. My point still holds. Nonetheless, glad you're in the audience. Jeremy from Huntsville, fantastic monologue, he says. Thank you, sir. David from Huntsville says, loved your rant on the punking of the Price Act. Senator Chesteen and any Senate leadership that agree with this plan are just wrong. Agreed, man. John from Huntsville. John from Huntsville is talking to you about the bracket. I see you guys have already communicated on that. I got you. Rita from Scottsboro says, hey, Boomer and Phil. It's a long text. Now I need to go back and see what's what because I can't read it and think it at the same time. I will go back and check out your text, Rita. Thank you very much. And Gary from Decatur. You often ask the question, why such a deep red state does so many blue things? You just answered the question, Colonel. They got bought off by the AEA. That's the teachers union. I am not going to argue that point, Gary. And then Missy from Faulkner's texted in and says, Colonel, I know you set a time for political service. She wants me to run for something again. Don't be wishing that kind of thing on me, Missy. Thank you very much, but I appreciate you. I like what I'm doing right now. I feel called to be in this seat with this microphone and Boomer on the board. So, hey, Boomer.
Yeah.
All right. Reality shows.
Reality shows.
I saw you cracking up when I was talking about
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
Okay, I will say, when that first came on, I thought it was hilarious.
You
so
watched
I watched
that
it.
Show?
I totally watched it. When it first came on, I totally watched it. But then you were asking me during the break, like, what are some of my favorite reality shows? And I started naming things. You're like, that's not a reality show. I guess I don't watch reality shows.
If they have
shows.
To use a script, it's not reality. like American Choppers, I used to love that one. That's a reality show. What else was I loved Overhauling.
I guess.
But you like watching Naked and Afraid?
Well, I mean, watching it as in like I watched it maybe like 15 episodes total. I mean, in my whole entire life.
That is 15 hours of your life you'll never get back.
But I laughed a lot during those 15 hours.
I just don't get it. I mean, how much do they pay these people to get buck naked and go wandering through the briars in the jungle? And
exactly. That's what my friends and I sat there like, I wonder how much they're getting paid for this. You know, people getting bit by snakes in their butt. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
Yeah. You know what? I was trained to go into the jungle with the right gear. Just saying.
Not with nothing.
Not with nothing. Not with a whole lot of nothing. Oh my gosh. So what else? What other shows?
Oh boy. I watched a little bit of American Idol, at the very beginning.
American Idol, that would be a reality show, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game show / reality show.
Yeah, and, you know, I was a music guy as well growing up, so I guess I enjoyed that, you know.
I had a friend whose son was on either American Idol or America's Got Talent. I forget which one. He was a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and he and a bunch of friends were like in the Air Force show choir or whatever, and they used to sing in the stairwell because the acoustics were so good. And it gets to thing that people would gather at the base of the stairwell to listen to them. So they on a lark, they tried out for America's Got Talent. And next thing you know, they made the show, and they made it like to like the final four or something like
that.
Wow. And they were epic good. Yeah. So
that's cool.
My good friend's son was one of the lead singers. Now he's like a captain in the Air Force.
Wow.
Intel or something. But all right. All right. Hey, we got a full slate of stuff lined up for you. So we're going to come right back in a minute. Enabling the theater of the absurd is what I'm calling it. So here's the deal. Some of this stuff, it just stops cold. It stops cold if people will stop giving it room. Like, you know, why are we enabling that behavior? Why are we saying, well, if you'll stop screaming at me, I'll give you more? Because then they'll never stop. They always want more. And next thing you know, the media is going to encourage the behavior by running a story or doing an interview or wait till you hear, by the way, in a minute, we're going to do a sound clip from Vivek Ramaswamy being interviewed by no less than Chuck Todd, one of the more vaunted of the leadership in the in CNN. And the question is, it's more, now the answer to the question by Vivek Ramaswamy was great. I mean, it was spot on. But the fact that this was a question at all, it's the theater of the absurd, y'all. It is literally madness. It's like they have come at everything to a liberal right now is victimhood. Everything's bad. Why do we try? We must have more. You must give us more because things are bad. They're not bad. Somebody tell them to man up. How about that? All right. We'll talk about it. Theater of the absurd. Why are we enabling that? That's first on the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.